You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
All right. Now, we're with my good friend, Louis Archambault. He is a partner with Arnstein and Larry. You merged. So what are you calling it now?
Saul Ewing, Arnstein and Larry. Just keep getting bigger.
You do keep getting bigger. Now, were you once like up, the firm was from Chicago or something?
Yes. The firm was Florida and Chicago based. And as of September of last year, merged with Saul Ewing, which was more on the East Coast. And now we have broader scope, and it's been a great merger and very exciting things to be able to be a part of.
Now, I had a different reason for asking. My mom's from Chicago. She used to play with Arnstein's daughter.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I'm not kidding. It's she's Arnstein, is that the firm from Chicago?
That's right. The original firm for the Sears company.
She said they did them all the work at Sears.
So I'm sure she appreciates the mimicking of... Yeah.
Sorry, Mom.
But you have to do it with a Chicago
she
accent.
She loves that. Yeah.
Chicago. Sorry, Mom, but I really meant it with only love, but at least I remembered it. Was it Julie or something like that? Maybe you called Wanda to give her the lady's name. Anyway, so let's talk a bit about your firm's background with EB-5. You know, Ronnie came over, talked to us about EB-5 a number of years ago. And so I really have always viewed your firm as the leading firm here in South Florida for EB-5. What's the big pitfall with somebody doing EB-5? What's the first thing they need to do other than get the right counsel?
Well, when they're putting together their project, they just need to understand that there is a timing issue when it comes to the investment. Investors sign up when the investors sign up. That may not work necessarily with the timing of the project. So a lot of times when you're doing the structuring, you're going to want to have a bridge loan that goes with the EB-5 investment so that you don't have a problem with timing in funding of the project.
You know, right at the beginning, it was really hard because the lenders were still trying to get used to the bridge loan, and they were trying to look, they always go, how am I getting taken out? And the money coming in from the EB-5 in the beginning, they weren't comfortable with how that was working. So it seems to me then that kind of has gone away as an issue?
Correct. The bridge loan helps to massage the timing so that everybody's happy with the flow of capital. Another issue that arises when you're talking with the senior lenders is when the EB-5 money is put into the project and the application is made, the money has to immediately put at risk. So the money can't sit for very long. When the investor puts in their application for an EB-5 visa, the money has to go into the project. So senior lenders want to try to control the capital at times. And with an EB-5 investment, they can't wait. That money has to go into the project.
You said a scary word. You said that money is at risk.
Correct.
So the foreign investor puts the money up and they could lose it?
Yes, it's an investment like any other. So in the documentation, they agree that they understand that this is an investment, and investments sometimes don't always work out.
So if they invested the money and they lose it, are they still able to retain their residency card or whatever you call it?
Correct, yes. In the application process, as long as there were jobs created with the money they put in, it's not necessarily a result of the ultimate investment. It's were the jobs created that were expected when the application was made, and if at the end of the probationary period, there's still those jobs created that they expected, then they're able to get their visa.
So somebody does an audit on these jobs, the Department of Labor, the IRS?
Yes, Immigration Services will double check all the documentation that's submitted along with the application to verify that on the way in, there's an expectation of the correct number of jobs, and on the way out, that the jobs were actually created.
Now there's a whole, I got to use a word I hate, ecosystem that's around this. There's consultants that do the job projections and stuff like that.
Correct, yes. It's a business plan that's prepared and submitted. And the nice thing is you don't have to, with the $500,000 EB-5 application, the jobs that need to be created are either 10 direct or indirect jobs. So you don't have to show a trail of money that goes directly into somebody's salary. But what you do have to show that if the money went into construction, there's an anticipation that construction will generate a certain amount of jobs. It's a formula that the government agrees that if you put X numbers of dollars in, X numbers of jobs come out if the money flows to construction.
Now, how big is your team that works on these transactions? I know you got you got Ronnie. How many other folks you got that handle this? Because it seems pretty complicated.
Right. So Ronnie, you mentioned, is Ronnie Fieldstone. I'm sure he'll be happy.
High five to Ronnie. Boom. There you go, Ronnie. Finally gave you. There you go. Wanda got me there.
That's right. So we probably have about 5 to 7 partners and maybe another 5 associates or so that are working on EB-5 projects at any particular time through all the various offices. And it's very exciting because, I don't say this lightly, our firm is one of the preeminent firms when it comes to EB-5 across the country. And we have connections in this space with all the different players that are associated with EB-5 investments. So it's a really exciting area to practice.
Who are some of the teammates that you guys work with in that ecosystem?
Sure. So we work with Driftwood.
Shout out, Tom.
There we go. But I also want to mention some of the other attorneys also. Julian Montero, Jay Rosen, and Rohit Kapuria in the firm are also involved in the space. So
yeah,
I make sure
said,
I mention my friends.
You should. You said the people that really make you look good, because we know it takes a lot of people to make you look good, Lewis.
Now, well, I try,
Yeah, well, you did okay. Your wife would be proud.
My girls, too. They make sure I stay in line.
Well, hopefully they're going to be watching you on Facebook Live. If they're not, they'll be able to watch later. So then you talked about some of the other teams, and I think you said Driftwood or something?
Yes. There's various people that are doing EB-5 work, and there's regional centers as well throughout the country. There's 900 different regional centers in the United States, and we all get a chance to work on EB-5 investing.
How do I pick the right regional center, and can a regional center from North Carolina do a deal in Miami?
Regional centers are associated with certain areas of the country, so you have to pick a regional center associated with where the project is located. But we have relationships with all the various regional centers, and all you have to do is make sure you use the right firm. We can help direct you where necessary.
Now, the regional centers' geographic areas overlap?
The regional centers potentially can overlap, but they really try to stay within a specific territory.
But like a Florida one? Like a Florida one, and then you got one from Miami, and would they overlap, and I could talk to each of them, and how do I compare, and why would I choose, and what? Ooh, this is a great one. What would be points of differentiation that would matter to me?
Right. Well, it is more regional-based, so depending upon the investment and who you go with, it would be related to the regional center. Plus, the regional center qualifies the various projects. So once you're an investor actually looking at an offering, a regional center has already been picked for that project.
Oh, that's really cool. Now, you say you have relationships with the different regional centers. Do some of them have specialties in product type?
The regional centers are more generalized. It's more depending upon their project area than a specific project. So depending upon the area, you would then get involved with the regional center.
So I know that when I was looking for, I got to just say it this way, when I was looking for a place to do Vivian's kidney transplant, they all had success rate statistics. Do these regional centers have statistics like that? Listen to me just drilling down. My gosh, Jim, somebody gave me the due diligence pill today.
I'm sure you would have to talk to the specific regional centers about potential success. But when it comes to an investment, there's always risk involved. So I would, at that point, it comes down to the individual interviews that each of the investors would do with their people.
Spoken like a true lawyer. You good? Sounds like you're almost running for office here. But but now, so generically, could you walk us through the last transaction that you did so people could kind of say, well, my client called me up, we talked about this, then we called this, and then we did that, and we closed this, and it took about 2 years.
Sure. So there was a assisted living facility, actually 6, as part of an offering in North Carolina, and the offering was a collective related to the facilities themselves. And the investors would invest within a company that would loan money into the project. And the money would flow into the actual construction. And there was a senior loan component and there was a bridge loan component. And the senior lender, again, was putting in most of the money related to the construction. And the bridge loan would also be used depending upon timing. And as the investors' money would come in for the EB-5, it would go to either pay down the senior lender or the bridge lender in order to keep capital flow for the projects.
Well, I'd want it to pay down the bridge lender. They're going to be much more expensive than the senior lender. But what I know, I'm only in the capital provision business. But that's why I wanted you on the show, because I'm interested in this. So that was an ALF. So there was the construction jobs, which that was one thing. Then there were the continuing jobs, say 75 or 80 in the ALF. So do those count just like the construction jobs?
Well, in this case, the investment was related specifically to the construction. So it's construction jobs. But in this particular project, there weren't investors, but you could have an investment component related to the operations and the jobs related to the operations.
Okay, because the money that came in through EB-5 went into a finance company that funded the deal?
Correct. It was related specifically to the construction portion of the project. And then you could have a separate component related to the actual operations. Things that work very well for those are restaurants or a car wash. Things that employ a lot of people generally are very good from an investment standpoint because you have more jobs that can be created for certain industries versus others.
Well, Lewis, our time is up. It evaporated. Next time you got to bring your kids in here, though. We make it a deal that the second time the person comes in, they bring their kids. So we want to thank you so much for giving us this good information on international real estate investing. How do people find you, and if they want to, our good friend Ronnie?
Sure. At Saul Ewing, Arnstein & Lair, we'd be more than happy to speak to them. We're all over the web, www.saul.com. And if they're involved or interested in any aspect of EB-5, we'd love to be able to speak with them.
What a great website. High five to whoever got that for you. www.saul.com. Hot dang. All right, Wanda, play some rock and roll. I want to thank Lewis and his PR firm for getting us together here. Or actually, it was your in-house folks that helped us get the info. So high five to them. What's that lady's name?
That was Kara Dara.
There you go. Kara Dara. Thank you so much. Kara, I love that name.
Since
what
we're naming
name.
Names, too, I have to say hello to my daughters, Mia and Leah.
There you
I'm
go.
Sure they'll be very happy to hear their names.
There you go. You waited all the way to the end, though. They're not going to be happy about that.
Mia and Leah?
That's right.
Mia and Leah.
We'll say it all day. All
Mia
day.
And Leah. They got to come on the show. We're going to get Mia and Leah on the show.
Love you, Mia and Leah. We'll see you soon.